Shridham Priya Sandesho.
Please hear. Priya of your beloved. Sandesha. The message. Bhavatinam for you. Sukha. Happiness. Avaha. Bringing. Yam. Which. Adaya. Carrying. Agata. Have come. Bhadra. Good ladies. Aham. I. Ratu. Of my master. Raha. Of confidential duties. Kara. The executor. Translation. My good ladies, now please hear your beloved's message, which I, the confidential servant of my master, have come here to bring you. Text 29. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhavatinam Viyogam Me. You can try. Nahi Sarvatmana Kvachit. Yatha Bhutani Bhuteshu. Kam Vai Vagnir Jalamahi. Tataham Chamanat Prana. Bhutendriya Gunashraya. That's a real test. Translation, purport by Prabhupada's disciples. Supreme Lord said, you are never actually separated from me, for I am the supersoul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, ether, air, fire, water, and earth, are present in every created thing, so I am present within everyone's mind, life, air, and senses, and also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the apparently philosophical language of the Lord's statement conceals a deeper meaning. The Supreme Lord was secretly telling the gopis that he, by way of reciprocating their special love for him, was present with them. Not only as the soul of all creation, but also as their special lover. In this sense of the verse, the word guna indicates the gopi's special divine qualities, which attracted Sri Krishna, and the word sarvatmana, which we have here translated in reference to Lord Krishna himself, corresponding to the word me, which is also in the instrumental case. What does instrumental case mean? By which something is done. It's also understood in the sense of sarvatmana, sarvata, or completely. In other words, although in one sense Lord Krishna was absent, he could never be completely absent, since in his spiritual form, he was always in the hearts and minds of the gopis. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and other books, Srila Prabhupada has elaborately explained that the reason Lord Krishna separated himself from the gopis was to intensify their love for him, and as Uddhava noted, to bless other devotees by revealing to them the intensity of the gopis' love. In fact, the Lord was spiritually present with the gopis, since they are his eternal associates. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further points out that the foolish persons will conclude that Sri Krishna's use of philosophical language meant that the Lord was trying to bring the gopis to the point of liberation by explaining basic points of Krishna conscious philosophy. In truth, the gopis are the most exalted liberated souls, and their pastimes with Sri Krishna must be understood with the help of authorized acharyas. When the gopis came for the rasa dance, Sri Krishna tried to preach karma yoga to them, emphasizing ordinary ethics and morality. But the gopis were beyond that. Similarly, Lord Krishna now offers them jnana yoga, or metaphysical philosophy, but this is also inadequate for the gopis who have achieved spontaneous, unalloyed love for Sri Krishna. Text 30. Atman yevatman atmanam shijeham yanu palaye atma maya nubhavena bhutendriya gunatmana. By myself I create, sustain, and withdraw myself within myself by the power of my personal energy, which comprises the material elements, the senses, and the modes of nature. Purport of the Lord, although the Lord is the supreme entity, there is no absolute duality between Him and His creation. Since the creation is the extension of His being, this oneness is here as emphasized by the Lord. We'll keep on reading some more, but Vam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Pranamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasgatya De Siddharne. Here we find some philosophical points which are the beginning also, which Krishna explains in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There's a basic conception giving Krishna the responsibility for the material world, and therefore people wonder that if Krishna is responsible for the material world, then how can an absolutely good person create a world of suffering? That if Krishna is the one who's behind the material world, then why did he make it so bad? What does that smile on the Lord's face really mean? What is he really enjoying? Therefore, Krishna, at the beginning of the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, says, Idam tu te guyatma, pravaksham anusuyave, jnana vijnana sahitam, yajgatva mokshase shubha. Because you are never envious of me, Arjuna, therefore I'm revealing to you this most theoretical and realized knowledge, knowing which you'll become free from all the miseries of material existence. In other words, if we think Krishna is basically a sadist, he created a world to watch everyone suffer, or he's a masochist, he expanded himself to see what it would be like to suffer for some billions of years, then it's very hard to develop love for such a person. Powerful person, but a little crazy. Krishna says these mentalities of deriding Krishna basically are born out of envy. That everyone who's come to the material world basically is somewhat envious of Krishna. Therefore, out of that enviousness, they've created many misconceptions about him. Krishna was, as I said the other class, he was lusty, unlimitedly lusty. He was a thief. He was a killer. He's the biggest terrorist. Imperceptibly, he's killing everyone. They don't even know it. But this will be a misconception about Krishna's position. So Krishna tries to explain how he's responsible for everything. He's the creator of everything, but at the same time, he's not responsible for what the living entities are going through. It's their responsibility. He's absolutely good, and the conditioned souls rebelling against them, they're absolutely bad. Yeah. Agreed. Confirmed. Unfortunately, because we're the ones who are bad, we see ourselves as good, and we see Krishna as bad. But then Krishna says that, well, basically tells you if you listen, then you'll understand something about devotional service. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram idam utamam pravakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartum avyayam. That this knowledge that Krishna is going to give is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets, it's the purest knowledge, and because it gives one direct perception of the self by realization, it's the perfection of religion, is everlasting and is joyfully performed. If one can accept devotional service, then one can become joyful, one can understand Krishna, one can understand everything properly. But ashadadana purusha dharma syasya parantapa apropyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmane. Those who are not faithful on this path of devotional service cannot achieve me, and therefore they come back to repeated birth and death in this material world. Sometimes people take to the process of devotional service, but ultimately they have some ulterior motive. They come because they hear that God can help them in some way. For those who are in distress, they want freedom from their distress, and practically everyone in Kali Yuga is in distress. Therefore, we tell people, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll become free from all anxiety. They'll try it out to see if it works. If you tell them your material life will end, all your material desires will be destroyed, and you'll have to leave this place and never come back again. You'll go to a world where everyone's just dancing all the time. Well, first of all, they probably wouldn't believe it, but just to find out that their material desires will be ended, they'll become very disturbed. So the last thing they want to do is chant Hare Krishna. They'd rather be in hell enjoying material desires than be in heaven without them. And for those who want security, then Krishna offers security. The intelligence, what is security? If one is greedy and lusty, then there is no security, because nothing here lasts in the material world. So when we find out what real security is, how to get the basic things in life, what simple living in, is to get what we actually need, and not to become disturbed by it, by the gain and loss in the material world. But generally people approach Krishna because they want more than they really need. They want more than they actually deserve. And they hear, if they go to Krishna, maybe Krishna will give it to them. But when they find out Krishna may not give it to them many times, then they go to Shiva, Lord Shiva, or Brahma, or to the bank. Usually they go to the bank, pray to the bank teller, please give me a loan, I'm your faithful servant, I'll work for you not only in this life, but in many lifetimes to pay the loan back. And a little bit above that, when one becomes convinced that there is factual knowledge in the Vedic scriptures, then generally one wants to utilize that knowledge in order to control others, in order to become the head of something. One becomes a big teacher and professor, a big manipulator and manager, somehow or another, to control. And when one sees that that's a waste of time, then one wants to get out of the material world and merge in Brahman and become God there. Join all the other gods in the spiritual world, in the Brahman effulgence. And just shine down on everyone. One may approach Krishna for different reasons, and then after one gets his desire satisfied, then immediately one thinks, well, what do I need Krishna for? Prabhupada says that people don't come to spiritual life in the Kali Yuga because they think spiritual life is ultimately meant to gratify, to get us the things necessary to gratify our senses. People go to church, they pray for their daily bread. But if they think they can get their daily bread by manufacturing it or going to the bakery, they think, what do I need God for? Let me go to the bakery and ask the baker for my daily bread. And he has cookies there and all kinds of things that God doesn't supply. Therefore, people don't go to the church anymore because they think, what is the value of the church? I can get what I need without God. It was actually in communist China where they invaded the cities. They told the peasants that you go to your church, I guess it was a Catholic part of China, you pray to God, give you your daily bread. After praying to God for their daily bread, they came back and they asked the peasants, so, do you have your daily bread? And they said, no, communist friends, we have no daily bread. Then they said, pray to us. And they all prayed and said, dear communist friends, please give us our daily bread. And the communists called for truckloads of bread and distributed it to the peasants. And said, my dear peasants, who do you think is better? Your God is better or we're better? Oh, communist friends, you are better. You're giving us our daily bread. Thank you very much. And Srila Prabhupada said, if I was there, I would have said, you rascals, where do you get the daily bread from? Ultimately, all food comes from grains, and grains come from rain. And rain comes from the performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice means to perform our prescribed duties, ultimately culminating in sacrifice. And the all-pervading transcendence is situated in sacrifice. If we want to make progress, then there has to be some kind of sacrifice. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, people don't believe that, but sometimes they take to some religious process superficially in order to gratify to get what they desire to gratify their senses. One has to hear, one has to gain knowledge, one has to understand things properly. As Krishna is telling the gopis here, that this material energy is part of his creation. It's his energy. It's not separated from him. He's in charge of it. Although in one sense, he's aloof from it. So next he tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagara vyaktamortine matstani sarabhutani na chaham teshuvastitaha. That in my impersonal form I pervade this entire creation. All things are in me, but I am not in them. Again, that although I am the creator of everything and everything is resting in me, still by my yoga aishwarya, my mystic opulence, I am completely aloof from everything. So this is called mystic opulence. And then inconceivable opulence that Krishna has. But then he gives an idea of how to conceive of it. So that's inconceivable, how we can conceive of something that's inconceivable. But he tells us anyhow. Itakasha sito nityam vayu sarvatrago mahan tata sarvani bhutani mastani tipadarya. As in the space, the mighty wind is blowing everywhere. So in the same way, everything is resting in me. The example is given that air is blowing everywhere, and it's all resting in space, but still it never really contacts the space. Although it's held in the space, but the space and the air are completely aloof from each other. So this is how could Krishna give an inconceivable example, an example for something that's inconceivable? Well, the really thing that's inconceivable is that when a mother maintains a child, it's something personal. There's a great attachment between the mother and the child. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is maintaining everyone, so that's a very personal relationship, but at the same time, he's completely aloof. So that's inconceivable how Krishna can do so many things and yet be aloof. Then he explains a little bit more. Sarva bhutani kuntiya morteyaksambhava prakriti sarva bhutani kuntiya morteyaksambhavanti ya tasa brahma hadyonir. That's not right. Sarva bhutani kuntiya. What's the next one? kapache purastani kapado visvajamyaha. That again and again I create, at the beginning of the millennium, all beings are sent forth by me, and at the end of the millennium, everything is destroyed. Prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavandi punat punat putamak kramam imam kritsnam avashnam prakritira vishat. Again and again I send forth the creation, and again everything is annihilated. So what kind of masochist or sadist is this? He's creating a whole thing, the whole universe, one of the little tiny universes we see around us. Makes a big thing out of it. So many things are going on. And then he breathes in and annihilates the whole thing. Just crushes everything. He's been doing this since time immemorial. Doesn't shed one little tear. Imagine going around with a machine gun, mowing everyone down, and just, after you're done, just standing there in the altar with a big smile. And not only that, he doesn't even have a machine gun, he just takes his bulldozer, rolls over the universe, just flattens everything. And everyone in there grinds their bodies to little bits. And just at the end, when he gets done with everything, just manifests again. Everyone's peacefully trying to maintain their homes, their families, their jobs, their occupations. And one day a big bulldozer comes and just plows everyone over. And he's the one behind it. And again he's doing it. Billions and trillions of times. And he keeps on smiling. So Krishna says, well, he's not attached. The other side we can see. If we lose one pencil, we become very disturbed. We look all over for it. We feel remorse. Krishna loses billions of universes. He's completely unattached. So that's inconceivable. So Krishna says, Nachama Tani Bhutani, Nabanandi Dhananjaya, Udasina Advarasinam, Asakam Teshu Karma Su. That my dear Arjuna, that all this work cannot bind me, I'm ever detached, see it as though neutral. Krishna is just like the judge. The judge, someone comes before him, and the judge condemns the person to death. It's not that he's condemning the person to death because he says, my dear sir, I don't like the way you look, you're dead. I don't like your face. You should hang. On the basis of the law, the judge examines things, and in a neutral way, unbiased way, hopefully, because this is theoretical, then he makes his judgment. Another person comes before him, and he awards him a huge amount of money. But the judge is not responsible, he's simply carrying out the law. In the same way, Krishna is neutral, he's unattached, he doesn't hate anyone, he doesn't like anyone in the material world. He's simply rewarding people the results of their desires and their activities. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam hetu nanena kundiya jagati parivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, producing all moving and unmoving being, and by its rule, this creation is manifested and annihilated. In other words, Krishna is aloof. He's simply, as the super soul, he's not attached or detached. He's not averse to anyone or attached to anyone. He's simply fulfilling the desires of the living entities. When the living entities act for Krishna, then Krishna elevates them to the spiritual world. And when they act for sense gratification, then he awards them the results of their activities. But Krishna is unaffected. Although he wants everyone to go back to Godhead, but he doesn't interfere with the minute independence of the living entity. But avajananti ma mudha manushim dhanum ashityam parambhava majananta mama buddha maheshwaram. But when Krishna comes, they think he's just an ordinary living entity like us, attached to fruitive activities, running around with ladies because he's attached to them, killing demons because he is in a bad mood, stealing because he's hungry. That this is a misunderstanding of Krishna's pastimes. They're all of the nature of the internal energy of Krishna. They're divyam. They're divine. Janma karma tame divyam. That unless we understand Krishna's transcendental activities and his appearance, that he doesn't appear according to the laws of karma, nor does he act according to the laws of karma. He acts according to the internal energy, yoga maya. Then we'll misunderstand Krishna and we'll misunderstand what spiritual life is all about. Then we'll misunderstand that Krishna's and his associates are acting on the opposite platform that we're acting on. We're acting according to the dictation of our senses, serving this material body, serving the material mind, and Krishna's and the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan, they're serving their desire of spontaneous love to please Krishna and his associates. Love. Here we're acting, being dictated by lust, and there they're acting, dictated by prema. So, just like gold and iron, they're both metals, but they have a completely different quality. So the prema of Krishna, the prema of his devotees, produces pleasure, and the lust here, which is manifested as lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and delusion, produces only suffering to the living entities. Therefore, Krishna, although he's created the material world, he's created in a way to try to encourage us to get out of the material world. If he created it as a nice place where all our miscreant activities get rewarded, just like Ravana, he wanted to create a system in the universe where everyone who performed sinful activities would go to heaven, and if anyone performed pious activities, they'd go to hell. That's the demon's dream. But he was unsuccessful. But the little Ravanas are still trying. Now if you tell the truth, the government will come and arrest you. If you tell the truth, people will come with shoes and beat you. If you lie and scam and cheat, then people will declare that you're a great personality, a Mahajan, for everyone else to follow. But that's not the way the material world works. It works according to certain laws of material nature. And we should understand that if there is some problem in the material world, it's not due to Krishna. Is due to are not following Krishna's instructions. And if we follow Krishna's instructions, then we'll be able to understand Krishna's divine energy, understand what's the difference between love and lust. And if we don't, then we'll be forced to act according to the dictation of the mind and senses, and remain bewildered. And in Kali Yuga, the bewilderment only increases. God will be declared to be dead. God will be declared to be the enemy. The other personalities will be declared to be our saviors. The scientists who create the atomic bomb to kill us will be declared our saviors. Black will be declared to be white. White will be declared to be black. And anyone who doesn't agree with that will be declared insane. Our whole business is to understand Krishna, how he's not responsible, although he's created a world of suffering, but it's only suffering for those who are rebelling against Krishna, rebelling against his instructions, and being rewarded for their activities with suffering, to discourage them from performing similar activities in the future. And when they perform proper activities, they're rewarded to encourage him to go on the path towards liberation and ultimately to take up devotional service again. So if we're suffering, it's not due to our neighbors, it's not due to the government, it's not due to our lack of something in the material world, it's simply due to our ignorance and our performing sinful activities or obtaining the reaction for our past activities. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano Punjane vatma kritam vipakam. Yaj, let's see. Vipakam. Yajvira vivakam. Vidanaste. Divetas and multipede sadayava. So. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam vag ridvag. Oh, that's right. Ridvag vipapubir vidadanamaste viveta yan viveta yomukti padesa dayabak ridvag vapubir vidadanamaste. Jiveta yobir yomukti padeya sadayava. So, what does this mean? Tat te nukamham, praying to Krishna for his mercy. That when we find out Krishna is a nice person, he's absolutely nice, unlimitedly nice, and we can pray to him for his mercy. Because, tat te nukamham susamikshama. Su means very nicely, iksha means to see. Tatenu kampam susa miksha susa miksha mana. So when one can see, in other words, when one's intelligence becomes purified and the mind becomes cleansed, what does he see? He sees that when he sees everything correctly, that if we're suffering, it's only due to our past misdeeds. So this is a very important point. Nothing's happening by accident. It is not that God's asleep at the wheel, and that somehow or another, bad things are happening to good people. How is this innocent little baby getting tortured, being killed? God has no compassion, or he's asleep at the wheel. He's an old man, he's become senile, he can't control anything anymore. He's trying to clutch the world and keep it under control, but due to arthritis, it shakes sometimes his hand. And therefore, earthquakes happen and all kinds of miserable things happen. But the old man's trying, but rumor is that soon he'll be replaced by a younger angel and things should go better in the future after the old man retires. No, it is not that God's an old man and the world's out of control. It's just that we're in ignorance and therefore we don't understand things properly. We understand things properly, we'll take the responsibility and rid vag vapubir vidadanamaste. With our body, mind, and words, we'll continue on with our service to Krishna in spite of all kinds of inconvenience, all kinds of problems we may be experiencing in the material world. And then, jiveta yo mukti sadai sadai bhak. Then we'll become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Or as Krishna says, Matra Sparsha Sukundiya Shitoshna Sukudukada Agama Payano Nityas Tam Titiksha Sabharata. O best among men, Arjuna, the non-permanent appearance of happiness, stress, and the disappearance in due cause are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer season. They arise from sense perceptional sign of Bharata, and one learns to tolerate them without being disturbed. Yam Hinabhyanti Yantyate Purusham Purusharshava Samaduka Sukham Dhiram Samritatvaya Kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, a person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, but is steady and bold, is certainly eligible for liberation. Nasato vidite bhavo, nabhavo vidite sita. Ubayar apidriston tastvan ayos tatridarashibi. Though those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existence, there is no existence. Of the eternal, there is no cessation. Seers have concluded this by studying the nature of both. So the point is that this material world is temporary. We can't expect to create a permanent situation here. And the spiritual world is eternal. So if we want a permanent place, we want stability, we want security, then we have to go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we can never be happy here. Okay, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm speaking. I'm repeated several times, you know, here in class, not by you, but out of the world. It's like, one is that we're always in the spiritual world, but we have forgotten. Satan is, don't worry how you got here, just worry how to get back. If you're always in the spiritual world, why worry how to get back? The third thing is that in the spiritual world there is no envy. So how did all these souls get here if there's no envy?
Okay, well, the first point is we're in the spiritual world just like in the prison where people are being tortured. They're also in the state, but they're in the prison part of the state. They're not in a very nice place, but still it's part of the state. Isn't that right? So we're in the spiritual world, but we're in the prison part of the spiritual world. So in this part, we get tortured by the material energy. As far as don't worry about where you came from, well, because if you're in the ocean drowning, then and you don't know how you got there, well, first get out of there. Rather than a boat comes along and says, I'm not getting on the boat until you explain to me how I wound up drowning in the ocean. I can't remember. Better to get on the boat, and then if you have any questions, you can ask it afterwards. As far as envy in the spiritual world, how did all the living entities get here? Well, the amount of envy we had was very slight. We just wanted to find out what it would be like to be Krishna. For instance, you may be a multi-billionaire and you can eat anything you want. Pakoras, samosas, whatever. You can have a big feast every day. But one day you just ask for only peanuts, fried peanuts, because you're curious what they taste like. So we were a little curious what it would be like to be a little bit apart from Krishna, a little bit on our own, without Krishna. So then we took birth as Lord Brahma or some other living entity with a little feeling of being separated from Krishna to see what it would be like. And because we weren't satisfied, we wound up in Melbourne eventually. So our misuse of independence is very minute at first, but then it grows. We don't learn the lesson. We're still curious how far you can go before you lose everything. Is that right?
Yeah, good answers.
Good.
Thanks.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.